From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 74 and verse 17. Thou hast made summer and winter. My soul, begin this wintry month with thy God. The cold snows and the piercing winds all remind thee that he keeps his covenant with day and night, and tend to assure thee that he will also keep that glorious covenant which he has made with thee in the person of Christ Jesus. He who is true to his word in the revolutions of the seasons of this poor, sin-polluted world will not prove unfaithful in his dealings with his own well-beloved son. Winter in the soul is by no means a comfortable season, and if it be upon thee just now, it will be very painful to thee. But there is this comfort, namely, that the Lord makes it. He sends the sharp blasts of adversity to nip the buds of expectation. He scatters the hoar frost like ashes over the once verdant meadows of our joy. He casts forth his ice like morsels, freezing the streams of our delight. He does it all. He is the great winter king, and rules in the realms of frost, and therefore thou canst not murmur. Losses, crosses, heaviness, sickness, poverty, and a thousand other ills are of the Lord's sending, and come to us with a wise design. Frosts kill noxious insects and put a bound to raging diseases. They break up the clods and sweeten the soil. Oh, that such good results would always follow our winters of affliction! How we prize the fire just now! How pleasant is its cheerful glow! Let us in the same manner prize our Lord, who is the constant source of warmth and comfort in every time of trouble. Let us draw nigh to him, and in him find joy and peace in believing. Let us wrap ourselves in the warm garments of his promises, and go forth to labors which befit the season. For it were ill to be as the sluggard who will not plough by reason of the cold, for he shall beg in summer, and have nothing.
Savior, that thy love lay hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use every day and every hour.
Emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. In dealing with the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns has been treating each one in separate messages. Today he begins to deal with the seventh commandment, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Our so-called modern society virtually ignores this command. Permissiveness, loose living, and easy divorce are rampant, as though God had not spoken. Yet God attached the death penalty to the first seven commandments, showing how seriously he regards the breach of them. Purity is the standard of the Bible, regardless of society's view of it. As we'll see, this commandment is based in the uniqueness and sanctity of marital fidelity. Now to introduce this message on the seventh commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
We'll be coming to a text in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, but our reading will be from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. Before I read the scriptures, I must confess that I feel the difficulty that has been expressed by many a preacher on coming in his dealing with the law of God to the seventh commandment. I think the difficulties that I've read of, for instance, in a great American preacher of the last century by the name of William S. Plumer, unknown, sadly, to all too many American pastors even today, but one of the truly great expositors of God's Word. When I think of his complaint in his day, and then when I go back even further into American history and read the lamentation of Timothy Dwight, when the grandson of Jonathan Edwards, when he was dealing with the law of God, I realized that what they thought was difficult was really not at all difficult in comparison to the situation of preachers today. We come to deal with the law of God and the subject of morality, and most particularly sexual morality. In the day in which we live, language has become very debased. Not only so, modesty has become very rare, even in the pulpit. And to make matters worse, our vocabulary has become more and more restricted. And therein lies the difficulty of the preacher. The English language is one of the richest languages ever known to man. And it has all the terms that are necessary to convey all the meaning that a preacher would need to convey in studying the seventh commandment. However, to the vast majority of English-speaking people, even to the vast majority of fairly highly educated English-speaking people, those words are now utterly meaningless and have been replaced by the garbage talk of the gutter. And that forms part of the difficulty of any preacher in dealing with modesty, with delicacy, and yet with honesty, with the matters that the Scriptures bring before us in the seventh commandment. Timothy Dwight pointed out that in his day some people felt that they were too delicate to have God's law on this matter preached to them. He pointed out that we cannot be holier than God. God's law is for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable, and this is part of that holy law of God. We're going to be reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Jesus saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Our text is in Exodus chapter 20, and verse 14. Five simple words in the English language, thou shalt not commit adultery. Possibly none of the Ten Commandments is less intelligible to people of our generation than this. Not only unintelligible, but totally unwelcome. Indeed, it is so unacceptable that living in flagrant defiance of this commandment has become a way of life for millions. So much is it ingrained in the perverse habits of this generation that again and again we hear from college campuses around the country that young people who desire to keep themselves pure are under constant attack as if they were something strange. How perverse can people be? Chastity today is a rare jewel. I'm sad to say that that is true even in the professing Christian church. One cannot be but shocked at the results of various polls that have been taken. One can only hope that somewhere a mistake has been made in the data, that the levels of immorality in the church are just about equal with those in the world, that even in many a Bible-believing, fundamental, gospel-preaching church, there is as much promiscuity and evil living as there is out there in the world. Back in the year 1631, an English printer made a horrendous mistake in the edition that he was printing of the authorized version of the scriptures. In printing the seventh commandment, he left out the negative and printed it as, Thou shalt commit adultery. He was fined the awful sum of £300. A full year's wages in those days. One would think nowadays that he had printed the exact text of Scripture so widely practiced is wickedness and immorality. Despite the revolution in morals that has debased modern society, the seventh commandment is still the law of God. Any breach of it is sin. This is no small commandment to break. I would have you remember that the first seven commandments each carried the death penalty under the Mosaic Code. The commission of adultery was in God's law to be visited by death. That is how seriously the Lord views the matter of personal chastity. As I studied this commandment, I thought that perhaps Paul's word to Timothy, a young man facing all the pressures, both of his own nature and of the world, and of the devil, Paul's word to Timothy is the simplest summary of this command. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, Paul ended the verse, "Keep thyself pure." Keep thyself pure. And I will seek to show tonight that is the meaning and the message of the seventh commandment. Now, as we consider this, I will want you to note with me first the basis of the seventh commandment. The terms of it are, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And those terms indicate very clearly that this commandment is based on the uniqueness and the sanctity of the marriage relationship. Adultery is the sin of marital infidelity. It is the physical union of a married person with someone other than his spouse. Now that is the essence and the grossness of this sin. This sin is the fundamental breach of the marriage relationship. So that if you're going to understand why the Lord inserts this in the Ten Commandments, you will have to understand the biblical doctrine of marriage. There is a very clear growth, or should I say, a development in the Ten Commandments. Obviously, there is first our duty to God, our duty to God's name, our duty to God's day. Then we come into the family, and there is the duty of children to parents and parents to children, recognizing the central importance of the home in the entire fabric of human society. But if the home is ever to amount to anything as a power for good or a power for God, then there must be the most absolute hedge of protection placed around the marriage union. And in the Scripture, we find therefore that marriage is an institution of God. That is clear from what we read tonight. The Lord Jesus said it was God who made them male and female at the beginning. It is God who brought them together in marriage and who declared that ever after that, so close is this union that even the union of parent and child must give way to it. And a man will leave his father and mother and will cleave or cling unto his wife. Marriage is not an evolution of some societal process. Marriage was not the discovery, a happy discovery, that society would be better organized on this basis. Marriage is not something dreamed up by the skill or the wit of man. Marriage was the institution of God when, in the very act of creation, He brought together a man and a woman and bound them as one flesh. Alfred Lord Tennyson, famous for many wondrous poems, he it was who said, "Marriages are made in heaven." Certainly, if that can't be said of every individual marriage, it certainly can be said of the institution. Furthermore, marriage is a solemn covenant witnessed by God Himself. Jurists have long said that in English law, and also in American law, marriage is nothing more and nothing less than a civil contract. The jurists are absolutely wrong. It is a civil contract only in a secondary degree, because first and foremost, it is a solemn covenant witnessed by the Almighty. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, we read, "The Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yea, she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." In Proverbs 2:17, he describes the strange or apostate woman who forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Marriage is a covenant witnessed by God.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.